In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, since early days, Christians have observed with great devotion the time of our Lord's Passion and Resurrection, and prepared for this by a season of penitence and fasting. By carefully keeping these days, Christians take to heart the call to repentance and the assurance of forgiveness proclaimed in the Gospel, and so grow in faith and in devotion to our Lord. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the Church, to the observance of a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word.
Thank you.
Let us pray for grace to keep Lent faithfully. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made, and forgive the sins of all those who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may receive from you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the prophecy of Isaiah. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rearguard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Fallen sinners in thy sight. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and making her stand before all of them, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Let's pray. Lord, guide me as I preach, and each of us in what we receive. Amen. Hello. It's lovely to be with you again. And I say again because I've preached at St. Mary's before once. Surely you remember. That was on the joyous occasion 4 years ago, on New Year's Eve, celebrating Matthew and Vic's new life together, followed by a very good party, as I remember it, in the church hall. I've been invited back by Matthew to preach today on a rather more sombre occasion, Ash Wednesday. I read a tweet last week from a clergy friend saying that she wasn't sure that she had the stomach this year for reminding her congregation that they are dust and to dust they shall return. Looking back at some of my past Ash Wednesday sermons, I see that I've often highlighted the psychological health that there is in owning and holding an awareness of our mortality, rather than the fearful minimizing or denying of this very basic human truth that we often do. But we come this year to Ash Wednesday after a full year of daily bombardment of the reality of our human frailty. Something of the power of the usual Ash Wednesday service will be lost anyway this year, as we won't be face to face and we won't be defaced with a smudge of ash. And we won't hear the priest saying again and again, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Turn away from sin and be faithful to Christ." We're all well aware of our mortality right now. And it might well be that there are some here listening to this service who have been through COVID, some who have been very ill, and some who have tragically lost loved ones prematurely to this awful virus. That well-known liturgy that I just quoted leads us to a final word. The final word of that liturgy is Christ. COVID is not and will not be the final word. You may also have been reading in the news about the significant challenges to the Church of England with reducing congregations and falling income during the pandemic. I'm sure you as a congregation have also a list of challenges and indeed your own losses to be grieved as you negotiate a way out of this hopefully last lockdown. The news is also full of the outworking of Brexit, there's rising national debt, unemployment, and the list goes on. But none of these are the final word either. Dust, death, will not and has never been the final word. Good Friday is central to this Lenten journey that we begin today. But again, it's not the final word. Lying in the dust, judged and on the verge of being stoned, as we heard in our gospel reading, death, turns out, is not the final word for the woman judged by a group of self-righteous men. For King David, his great sin against Uriah was not the final word. David's Psalm 51 in no way avoids Ash Wednesday, but it's not the final word. Turn away from sin and be faithful to Christ. Christ is always the final word. Consciously or unconsciously, we only have the stomach for Ash Wednesday and Good Friday because we know that they are integral to the journey and not the end. Without Christ, without Easter, Ash Wednesday and Good Friday would be just a very dark, macabre wallowing in our brokenness and the defeat of life by death. Life would indeed be a bitch and then you die. But no, that's not the final word either. If we were able to meet in person, Matthew would be daubing a cross of dust on our foreheads. It's a cross and not a crucifix that gets drawn on us. And thank goodness, because I'm no good at drawing. A crucifix is a cross with Christ hanging on it still. A crucifix is remembering of Good Friday. The simple two-line symbol of a cross bears no body. It's empty. It's after Good Friday. And this instrument of torture has become something more akin to a waymarker, pointing to something beyond our darkest human acts, beyond our sickness, viruses, and human frailty. It points beyond the sin that somehow God in Christ carried and carries for me in crucifixion. The empty cross becomes a waymarker beyond these things, to new life, to resurrection. Christ has led the way beyond dust and sin, and he says simply, "Follow me, I am the way." "No, sorry," he says, "you can't avoid the cross, it's part of the journey. You need to embrace it and its meaning. Sorry, it doesn't work to circumvent it or to run away from it." Please hear this glorious life-giving truth today. Ash Wednesday is not here to batter you down. It's here to tell you the truth about the human condition, but also to tell you that our human condition is not the final word. Here is the final word. You are not only organic matter. You are intimately loved. Loved before you have anything and before you have done anything, and loved after whatever you have done too. You are not only loved, you're also not alone. Christ, who we celebrated as Emmanuel at Christmas, continues to be with you, present even in the frustrating silence and seeming absence. So all-pervasive and beyond my desire for encounter on my terms that I keep missing this truth that is beyond my comprehension. And there is still yet more good news for you. You are not only intimately loved and not alone, but your Good Fridays are never the end of the story. I don't know any of you, but I'm confident in guessing that some of you are suffering quite a lot right now. And some of you have come close to death in the past year. And some are grieving loved ones who have died. Please hear this. Your Good Fridays are not the end of your story. Christ says to you, "I love you, I am with you, and I walk with you and also ahead of you. There is an ancient way that I know. Follow me." As Matthew knows from my sharing with him over the years, I'm full of questions and doubts about faith and God, and yet at the same time, by a mystery that won't let me go, I say what I say to you with the confidence of faith, and also with a created order which will again holler aloud this spring, that winter, darkness, and death have yet again not prevailed. Wait upon the Lord in this season of Lent, and as we hopefully come to the end of this awful pandemic, in humble trust that as sure as spring comes, so will new life. Let Christ be the final word. Amen.
Let us now call to mind our sin and the infinite mercy of God. God the Father, have mercy on us. God the Son, have mercy on us. God the Holy Spirit, have mercy on us. Trinity of love, have mercy on us. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven. Lord, have mercy. We have been deaf to your call to serve as Christ served us. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. We have grieved your Holy Spirit. Lord, have mercy. We confess to you, Lord, all our past unfaithfulness, the pride, hypocrisy, and impatience of our lives. Lord, have mercy. Our self-indulgent appetites and ways, and our exploitation of other people. Lord, have mercy. Our anger at our own frustration, and envy of those more fortunate than ourselves. Lord, have mercy. Our intemperate love of worldly goods and comforts, and our dishonesty in daily life and work. Lord, have mercy. Our negligence in prayer and worship, and our failure to commend the faith that is in us. Lord, have mercy. Accept our repentance, Lord, for the wrongs we have done, for our blindness to human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty. Accept our repentance, Lord, for all false judgments, for uncharitable thoughts towards our neighbours, and for our prejudice and contempt towards those who differ from us. Accept our repentance, Lord, for our waste and pollution of your creation, and our lack of concern for those who come after us. Accept our repentance, Lord. Restore us, good Lord, and let your anger depart from us. Favorably hear us, for your mercy is great. Accomplish in us the work of your salvation, that we may show your glory in the world. By the cross and passion of your Son, our Lord, bring us with all your saints to the joy of his resurrection. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, I invite you to reflect on your mortality as, on behalf of us all, I receive these ashes as a sign of the spirit of penitence with which we shall keep this season of Lent. God our Father, you create us from the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be a sign of our penitence and a symbol of our mortality, for it is by your grace alone that we receive eternal life, in Jesus Christ our Saviour. Amen.
Remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. turn away from sin and be faithful to Christ.
God our Father, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because in our weakness we can do nothing good without you, grant us the help of your grace, that in keeping your commandments we may please you both in will and deed, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." Let us pray. We ask for your blessing on the Church of England's Lent programme, Live Lent, God's Story, Our Story. It asks us to think about our calling, how to share our faith, and reflect on the difference Christ makes in our lives. The campaign is a plea that in our daily life, which is full of restrictions, we should grasp the need for us to share God's love with our communities. At St Mary's, we ask for your blessing on this year's Lent course, God and the Pandemic, as we consider different ways of seeing and responding to the pandemic. In these turbulent times, we ask that this Christian community be your oasis of caring and support. Suffer us not to mock ourselves with falsehood. Teach us to care and not to care. Teach us to sit still. Even among these rocks, our peace is his will. Strengthen Nick and Paul and all our bishops and all your church in the service of Christ, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Silent as the clouds that run along the sky, silent as the sun that breaks the ground at dawn, silent as the day when cloaked by night, the silence of the Creator One. Dear Lord, we stand in awe at your creation. It's such a precious gift, yet mankind stands at the brink of destroying it. This Lent, we ask that we look around and cherish what we have. There is no greener grass than the one we stand on. In our day-to-day life, we ask that we recall the words of the prophet Isaiah. Is not this the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break each yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house. May our support and prayers for the Eastleigh's Food Bank and St George's Crypt redouble during Lent. Bless and guide Elizabeth, our Queen, give wisdom to all in authority, and direct this and every nation in the ways of justice and of peace, that men may honour one another and seek the common good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We have lived through a time of immense sadness at the suffering across our communities. We rejoice, though, at the skills of those who care for the sick and those in need. Today we will have brought to this service friends, relatives and neighbours who need our prayers. In a moment of silence, we offer our prayers for them. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Turn away from sin, and be faithful to Christ. We remember all those who have recently died and whose years' minds occur at this time. We give thanks for all those in this church who care for and minister to those that have been bereaved. Patience to watch and wait and weep, though mercy long delay, courage our fainting souls to keep and trust in thee alway. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Remember, I am with you always to the end of age, Rejoicing in the fellowship of St. Mary and all your saints, we commend ourselves and all Christian people to your unfailing love. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray with confidence. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us access to his grace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us o'er the wounds, tempest, and sea.
This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. He is the sacrifice for our sins, that we might live through him. If God loves us so much, we ought to love one another. If we love one another, God lives in us.
If the lost word is lost, if the spent word is spent, if the unheard, unspoken word is unspoken, unheard, still is the unspoken word, the word unheard, the word without a word, the word within the world and for the world. And the light shone in darkness, and against the word the unstilled world still whirled about the centre of the silent word. Suffer us not to mock ourselves with falsehood. Teach us to care and not to care. Teach us to sit still, even among these rocks. Our peace in his will. And even among these rocks, sister, mother, and spirit of the river, spirit of the sea, suffer me not to be separated. And let my cry come unto thee.
May God the Father, who does not despise the broken spirit, give to you a contrite heart. May Christ, who bore our sins in his body on the tree, heal you by his wounds. May the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth, speak to you words of pardon and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. May hope of a new beginning surround our steps as we walk together through this holy season of Lent. Amen.